Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The independent voice for Houston sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Clay Wolf in town at the Memorial Office. So if you want to sell him your car, givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com. The Texans signed David Culley to a 5-year contract. I don't know what the buyout would be. I don't know. They probably have some kind of, because
it was five?
Five years. But you don't know that it's all guaranteed. You don't know what it is. It's a 5-year contract. I would imagine you can't have guaranteed. And listen, David Culley would have taken anything, right? I mean, there was zero chance that he was going to be a head coach other than the Houston Texans this year. This is it. Nobody had him on a radar. Nobody, he would have taken anything. So I would imagine it's not going to be too, if they were smart enough to have a contract that wasn't too penal to get rid of him. You know, David Culley is going to be bought out for relatively a small amount of money. It has to be. There's no reason that you would sign David Culley to a 5-year guaranteed deal. No reason.
No, it doesn't make any sense. You go 3 and you move from there.
Oh, well, yeah, 3 guaranteed, maybe. Brooks Kabina covers the Texans for the Chronicle, and he was on with the Wheelhouse Boys, and he talked about David Culley's, the possibility of David Culley being one and done.
We'll see what the rest of the games do and how he bounces back from some of these decisions. But overall, it's like, where do you see some sort of spark from this team that's going to give them any semblance of hope next year? So we know that 30 players are on 1-year contract. The 30 players are going to have contracts that expire in the offseason. And I asked Nick Cassero about this last week after the trade deadline. And so they're going to be busy in the offseason. He said that's okay. So they're prepared to make changes. And I'd imagine they are prepared to make changes coaches if they need to.
Yeah, I would. Okay. I've never heard a coach admit as often as Coach Culley has how the mistakes that he's made. You know, normally, Bill O'Brien, after the games, would go, that's what we did. And that, you know, that was the right. And then Monday, he'd go, well, you know.
Bill would intimidate people at a press conference and try to back you off that way. But David Culley admits his flaws and mistakes. And that's, you know, it's admirable to an extent. But for self-preservation purposes, I don't know that you want to point it out all the time. But then again, you don't really have to point it out. We see.
You don't.
Well, that's on me.
Or people don't see it and they don't know because they didn't watch the game. That's also a possibility too. Like, David, nobody's watching. You don't have to talk about your mistakes. No one saw them. Nobody saw it.
The media is asking them, you know, why did you punt? Why did you decline the penalty and then punt? You know, that's, in hindsight, I would do it different. Well, yeah, because, well, how about doing it?
You know, analytics has those things out there.
Yeah, analytics does have a lot of those things out there. You know, not, you know, taking a penalty and then punting. Yeah, analytics would say don't do that.
Let me tell you how it goes at work. Here's two guys getting ready to go to lunch. But did you see what Culley did with the punt team? No. What'd he do? I didn't see it. I heard about it. I saw a clip on Twitter. Somebody had a clip of they were taping their TV. But you got to see this clip. I don't know the context. Like I said, I wasn't watching the Texans, but I don't know exactly what happened. But I saw the look on his face on this clip. You got to see this. How do I find it? What do I search for? I don't know.
Is it anywhere on the internet?
Where do I find what happened with the Texans? I don't know. You're just going to have to, like, just search David Culley face. Go to Twitter and search David Culley face punt bad decision and see if that pops up there. That's how people try to like, did you see what happened? No, I didn't. How can I see it? I'd like to see. You're going to have to see if you can find a Twitter clip somewhere because no one has seen it. This is something that happened that I heard third. Everyone's seen things and heard things. They've all heard it third hand. No one actually sees what happens once by the time you get to the fourth quarter, except people doing post-game shows. I guess you have to hang in there with that. Or if you have action. If you have action on the Texans, you were hanging in waiting to see if the Texans covered.
Can you and listen,
fantasy football. No, I'm being serious here. Your fantasy football team means that you have a lot of players to watch. You don't have to watch the end of a bad game.
No.
Only if you have action on the Texans do you have to do that.
Right. Well, I honestly feel bad for the guys. So, like, doing a 3-hour post game show of the Texans losing.
You sign up for it.
38-22 to the Rams or the Bills game. Can you imagine doing 3 hours of that talking about that game?
No, it'd be terrible.
It's just,
obviously.
No, yeah. I mean, that's the job. Fortunately for us, I mean, this is the most Texans. I really feel like I'm proud of us. This is really the most Texans we've talked in how long? I mean, do you like it? Come on, give us a call. 713-780-3. I want a Texans, somebody to call in and have a Texans take this on this bye week where they get a break and then now they'll be refreshed for this second half of the season, right? Where is there anybody out there that would like to give us some encouraging Texans word?
Two weeks to prepare for Terod. That's good.
Yeah. No, Terod needs it after what we saw. Now, I can't believe that. Oh, and you know what? I feel bad for Terod because he really doesn't play like that. That was about as awful as you'll see Terod because he's a pretty solid quarterback. Not spectacular. He's been solid. He actually was playing well with the Browns. He was playing well with the Bills. He Chargers. He got hurt right away. And here, he was playing really well until this past week. His six quarters, he played well before that. So that was not the real Terod Taylor on Sunday. That was a Terod Taylor that was just...
That's part of Terod Taylor. That's why he's not a starting quarterback full-time.
He has been a starting quarterback full-time, and he's gotten...
I bet you go back to his game log, you'll see game stinkers.
He got better dealed by younger quarterbacks.
But I bet if you go back, you'll see stinkers, too.
Like that?
Well, Josh Allen had one.
No, Josh Allen had a terrible
game. So that happens.
Oh.
That's part of being
Matthew
an NFL.
Stafford had a horrible game.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's part of being an NFL quarterback. That's Terod Taylor, too.
Yeah.
We
got people calling in. They want to talk about
games
the Texans.
Too.
I love it. No, they really do. They want to talk about this Texans team.
Two lines are ringing because they're trying to win a meat pack from Pete's Fine Meats, probably.
No, that's...
Tell them, you don't get a meat pack from Pete's Fine Meats just because you call in.
Well, Michael might not... Michael's going to text us and say, oh, yeah, we'll give out a meat pack.
That's what it would take.
That's what it would take. Michael, and oh, my God, I made the burgers last night. They were spectacular. Spectacular. Okay, who is that, LJ or Lee? What is that, L-I or L-J? I can't.
LJ. It's LJ.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. LJ.
Hello. Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you? You got some Texans positivity? Let's go.
I do. So, you know, a couple of months ago, I was thinking, you know, Jack Easterby, I sort of get his game. He's trying to be the Ted Lasso of our team here. And then I listened to David Kelly. I'm like, how many Ted Lassos are we going to hire on this team? I mean, there are a bunch of guys that have no idea what they're doing, but they're completely positive about not knowing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's sort of sad. I feel like we're living in Ted Lasso right now watching the Texans. Sort of weird. I mean, I'm trying to be positive, but, geez, I know what all the fans look like in that pub in Ted Lasso now.
Do you know those three guys that always watch in the pub and Ted Lasso? That's probably more than any sports bar has watching the Texans. And they're more into...
Are we those guys in the pub talking about David Lasso? It's not, we're not, David Culley's David Lasso. We're not giving that to Jack Easterby. He doesn't get to be a likable, fun character at all.
No. No, we like David Culley.
Yeah. We like David Culley.
But Lasso was even smart enough to, you know, keep Coach Beard around, and Coach Beard learned the game to teach him, you know, to actually be the X's and O's guy for him.
Yeah.
Until Who's he doing turned that for Culley?
Until he turned on him.
Shh.
What?
I'm trying to watch.
What?
I'm waiting to watch.
What are you,
waiting to watch? It's been out for
John. I got a zillion things I'm watching right now. I'm going to finish I'm not binging that. I'm going to watch. I'm finished watching Succession.
Succession, you okay. can't. You got to go week to week.
That's right.
So John tried to spoil alert people. I'm going to unspoil alert that because I don't think you watched the show correctly.
Oh, I don't
Coach
know.
Coach Beard.
Oh, Coach Beard, the beard guy.
Yeah, the guy with the, beard. The beard. Coach Beard.
Oh, not the other guy. The
but
little...
he brought a guy with him whom he made learn the game and teach him how to coach the game.
No, no, no. I know that.
Who's doing that for
Cully? I'm talking about the little darker guy.
Yeah, Nate.
Nate.
But who's doing that for Cully right now? Who's his X's and O's guy who's actually showing him, hey, this is how you be a head coach. This is how you understand the game that you're supposed to be coaching.
Well, isn't that Tim? I mean, honestly, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, or the other guy they brought over from Stanford? Yeah. I mean, yeah, those guys. They're supposed to teach the coach how to play, how to coach, aren't they? I mean, we know Coach Cully. He had.
I thought that's what Romeo.
He had
doing.
The wide receivers in Kansas City that didn't catch a touchdown pass. We know he was in charge of the running game with the Ravens that was disastrous.
Are we done with Ted Lasso talk?
Yeah, we're done.
Spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean Coach Beard. I meant the other coach. Okay. That's what
Stop.
I meant.
Stop.
Let's get Kevin in here. He wants to talk about the Texans. What do you say, Kevin?
Fellas, what's going on this morning, man? How y'all doing?
What do you say, Kev?
What's up, Red Raider?
What you think about
congratulations on your
Joey
new coach.
McGuire. What do you think about him?
Man, you know what? Honestly, I think that's a great damn hire because of what the guy did in the Dallas area and being able just to know the landscape in the state of Texas, period. Honestly, man, you know who I was looking at, who I had given some of my guys, and we talked about it, even some guys that's in Kirby ear, and I told him, hey, look, make a splash hire. Go get Kevin Sumlin. Throw some money at him. Make it worth his while and bring him back. Because here's a guy who knows the landscape in the state of Texas, and you've got to get that splash hire of a guy who knows the state. You got to recruit in your state. You got to keep kids at home that's going back into that transfer portal. Man, that's the thing that not so much the transfer portal, but the Pirate, man, he wore those JUCOs out with All-Americans. You know, he get kids, Joe Filani, the Johnson kid, Richard Johnson, man, he get All-American kids and convince them to come to Lubbock to play football. And, you know, I don't want to hear a coach tell me it's tough to recruit to Lubbock, Texas. That's BS. You can get kids to come to Lubbock. The track team has won the national championship. It's full of black athletes. So don't tell me black kids
basketball
don't want to play in Lubbock. That's BS.
Basketball team, college
That's because they're trying to run away from Lubbock.
What's that?
Yeah, I mean,
track team wins because they're trying to run out of
women's program.
What's that?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Texans. Let's talk about the Texans, Kev. What you got?
Well, man, I don't know. You know, John, I'm a Houston guy through and through. I'm not a big time Texans fan, but what I will say is that we knew going in, man, this wasn't going to be a great football team. You know, I don't know if we're expecting too much from Coach Kelly, a guy who's never been a O or a D coordinator at any level. Like, man, he was, man, because I like the guy, I don't want to say the wrong thing. You know, I don't want to be that guy to pound on a guy who doesn't have a lot of talent on the roster from the start. I think we were over-encouraged in what we saw from week one and then the other half of what Tyrod played. Tyrod made some of the dumbest plays ever. Man, you can't blame Coach Kelly the same way you can't blame Dusty Baker for the Astros not hitting. You can't blame Coach Kelly for Tyrod flipping that ball like he did before halftime.
No.
That was absolutely stupid. That wasn't even a rookie mistake. That was something a kid does in Little League. Oh, I thought he was open. Like, Tyrod Taylor, why would you think? I just want to slap the hell out of him, and I could care less one way or the other if the Texans win or lose. But that was an absolute – that was one of the dumbest plays ever, besides the Orlovsky play years ago. But that was one of the dumbest plays ever that I've seen from an NFL quarterback, just to flip that ball like he did right before halftime, and the guy picks it off from Miami. Because that honestly – that turned the tide in that entire ball game because they turned that into a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you could have turned yours into no worse than a field goal. I mean, you could have Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's you flipped the scoreboard 10 points there.
Yeah, we're up against it, Kev. Appreciate it. That was not positivity though, so that's awful, Kev, because we're looking for going into the break how this Texans team is going to be. Taking the Tyrod Taylor was awful is not what we were looking for. We're looking for some positivity.
Well, it was the truth.
When they get back on the field against the Colts, here we go, people. It's time to go to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. That the line isn't out yet on your Texans, but it will be. Look, I'm looking at, and I bet this morning, I took some futures because the college basketball season starts tonight. Ooh, I got some good odds going on here. And I really, really, really like what I've seen. I put a little bit on the University of Houston to win it all. Why not? Huh? Michigan has got a nice team. Put a little something on that. You're getting good odds right now. Also, you know what? You can catch a little Nevada right now. And who knows? You never know what's going to happen. You want a future bet on college basketball? Who's going to win it all? You got great odds going on right now at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. But you got everything. There's everything. Live betting, casino betting, racing, every sport, not only sports, but politics, entertainment, everything. And they're going to match up to $1,000, whatever you deposit right now. At mybookie.ag, promo code bet975, you get all the play you want. You win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 8:20 on ESPN 97.5. Hey, listen, did you see this? See this? This is the most Texans calls we've had all year long. People want to talk about this Texans team right now. And you scoffed at it.
There's two people on
hold. We already had two people.
One was negative.
No, it wasn't negative. Just because he said Tyrod sucked, that doesn't mean anything.
Well,
that means he's going to get better.
How about you could actually...
You expect him to be better.
You could be actually negative. It's just, do you care enough to talk about him?
Well, okay. Apparently people do.
Yeah.
Okay?
Because I get...
The people are clamoring to talk about the Texans.
Because I got some stories. Because we got to get to the Damon Arnett story. Is it good when your first round, when one of your first round picks,
another
pulls a gun on a TikTok video and talks about how he and his friends are going to kill someone, and he's telling them to drop the pin? Like, it's Mike Mayock has. Mike Mayock wishes he were back at NFL Network right now. What a nightmare it's been for Mike Mayock. Antonio Brown. Josh Jacobs with a DUI, Henry Ruggs' deal, John Gruden's deal, Damon Arnett now with the whole gun threatening to kill some rando on Instagram or whatever.
Mayock's like, what? What am I doing here? Goodness gracious. But people want to talk about the text.
That's
let's
just go. Stuff you know about.
Ralph is here. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, first off, man, let's not compare John Gruden and his locker room talk, whatever he was doing, compared to threatening to kill people and actually killing people.
No. The comparison, Ralph, hold on. The comparison is that was a major national story. He's not even there. All three of those guys are gone now for Mike Mayock. That's the comparison. Issue after issue after issue for the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm interested in kind of getting past the whole, you know, verbal insults and focusing more on
the Texans.
Really bad behavior that end in death. You know what I mean? I'd be more focused on that. But yeah, you're right. It all happened on the Raiders and under Mike Mayock, and that's too bad for him.
Yep. What about the Texans?
So the Texans is interesting, actually. You know, because I think that Nick Caserio has obviously demonstrated that he can be a great GM by demonstrating he knows how to build a losing team, which intrinsically would mean he probably knows how to build a winning team. So he's certainly done a great job of building a losing team. So I would suspect in a few years he'll do a good job of building a winning team. And that'll probably start with losing to the Detroit Tigers, getting the number one pick, trading that back for as much as you can, trading Deshaun to probably Philadelphia for all their picks and all their second-round picks, and then taking those picks and trading back for more picks. So you just end up with five or six first-rounders and five or six second-rounders and two picks in every round after that, and you don't have a quarterback, but you got Davis Mills, and then you're going to have the Zach Wilsons of the world available in 2 or 3 years on the cheap, and you got $120 million in cap space to rebuild a defense. So when you kind of put all that together, you can see where the Texans might end up being the Astros, where you suck for 3 years, but then you're great for 5 years.
Ralph, let's, thanks for the call. I tried to put it all together in my mind. I couldn't get there the same way you did. That sounded like a Trader Jeff call. It just with just maybe a little more.
Did you see the report where
brown liquor
that the Texans gave refused 3 first-rounders and 2/3? You see that report out?
You mean the not the one that has been out there previously from Jay Glazer?
No, I saw Pelissero's report yesterday.
It was yesterday.
On Sunday.
Whose report?
Yeah,
Tom Pelissero.
Yeah.
Why is Tommy P putting that out there now?
Pelissero said 3 first-rounders and 2/3 that they turned down.
I wonder who.
I think that's a good thing.
I wonder who the team would be. Miami?
I think
he said multiple.
Camp Casario is doing its job. I really do.
Yes, I think he can end up getting more than that.
Yes.
In this year's draft, listen, this is not the year for quarterback.
So I think Ralph is dead on, if you want to know the truth.
That you're going to get all these
3 bad years and then 5 great
years. Then you're
going to
trade back a pick to Detroit? What now?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look at the Eagles, what they just did. They just traded a pick back to Miami and got Miami's pick. How's that working out for
him? He had us getting like 8 picks.
I know.
He Trader Jeffed it.
Well, that's all right. Look what the Eagles did. The Eagles have 3 first-rounders in the top 10 or 11 right now.
As long as Carson Wentz keeps playing.
Yes.
Okay, so here's a question for you. I've thought about this. I already know Ballard would not do this. But what if your team isn't going to win? Would you shut? So the first-round pick for Carson Wentz, it's a second-round pick. If he plays, I want to say it's 70% of the snaps, it turns into a first. If you can't make the playoffs, would you shut down your quarterback so that the other team doesn't get your first?
Unfortunately, they're teetering. Unfortunately, yeah. They're playing better football, and they get the Texans.
But if they weren't and Carson were playing bad, you could say, hey, we got to get a look at our rookie quarterback, Sam Ellinger. Yeah. We got to see if he's the quarterback of the future. You could viably do that.
The Eagles fans would.
That is breaking the spirit of the agreement.
Yeah.
Because that is meant for injury and whatnot. But if the guy weren't playing, he threw a left-handed pass from his end zone that turned into a pick six. That's a fireable offense. That's a benchable offense.
Worse, that or Matthew Stafford's spinning throw right to David Long? Which one was worse?
No, Wentz is as bad as I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He switched it to his left hand and just threw it up in the air in his own end zone.
Except it was the best play they could have possibly had.
Because
it gave them the football back. They tied the game, and they went to overtime.
That wasn't his intent.
Well, you don't know. You don't know what Carson Wentz was thinking. Let's give them a touchdown here and get the ball back and go tie the game.
It's funny. Even if you give them a safety to start over and they get the ball, it's
no,
not
but
the
you
same.
Got a kick to them.
That's
then.
The only
you don't
thing
get the
you
ball.
Could do. Yeah, or you could have driven down the field and scored.
Well, yeah,
that was the other thing.
But that wasn't. You're in your own end zones, getting spun around, getting destroyed. At that point, he said, "Let me throw it to them and get the ball back." I love Carson Wentz's thought process there. It worked out perfectly for him, actually. 827 ESPN 975-713-780-37. Look at the people want to talk about the Texans. Jimmy and Johnny. The Jimmys and Johnnies are here wanting to talk Texans football. But we also do have to get to this Arnett, or did we?
No, we haven't gotten to it. Well, can you have the audio for
you
it,
have the
too?
Audio okay. of his TikTok? Yeah.
You're going to have to work on it. You're going to have to work on it a little bit. But if you think things are bad in Houston, this is just boring. It is
not boring.
It is chaotic in Las Vegas. And who didn't know that? A team with some questionable dudes going to Las Vegas It's imploding like you thought it might.
Absolutely.
When we come back, we'll tell you what is the latest to transpire. Right now, I'm telling you about Cars for Kids because they are a company who is working directly with the Houston Can Academy. And when you work with Houston Can Academy, they have an opportunity for you to help a young person who is needing a second chance at a diploma. They help make that a reality. And the way they fund it is with your car, your truck, or your SUV, whatever it is, whether it's running or not running, whether you've been sitting there talking about for years that you're going to restore this vehicle and then you never do, and it's a piece of junk that's sitting at your home. Maybe it doesn't run. Maybe it does run. They'll come out there. They'll haul it off if they need to. They'll give you a $50 Visa gift card when you mention my name and that you heard it here, and they'll give you a tax credit. And what does that tax credit do? Well, it's going to offset whatever gains you had from the year before. It's great. I mean, what they're doing is paying you for your vehicle as opposed to you paying to have your vehicle hauled off. This is a great opportunity for you. Go to the website to start the process, carsforkids.org. That's carsforkids.org.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 8:32 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, talking about this right now. Damon Arnett. So 2020, first round pick. They took him 19th overall. He was a bit of a reach there. Where did you have him? Where did you have Damon Arnett?
I gave him a 6-1. That would be the equivalent of a third or fourth round pick.
They took him 19th overall.
I thought it was a big reach at the time. He'd never played that well. Mike missed him. Mayock missed him. I had a 6-1-0. 6-1-0 is the equivalent of, like I said, that's a good backup. Could be a bad starter. Basically, good backup to maybe eventual starter, but it's more of a third round pick. Mike took him in the first. I thought he'd go in the third. He had some issues.
Did you take into account his driving skills?
No, I didn't know about that. I did know about issues off the field. I did know he had multiple 15-yard penalties on the field because he couldn't control his emotions. He was a highly impulsive player. I didn't know it factored into his driving. His driving is problematic. His impulsive nature with grabbing guns and threatening to kill people and putting it on TikTok, which I think is good. I think you need to put, or maybe he didn't put it on TikTok. Maybe someone else did. Maybe he sent the video to somebody through direct message and they put it on TikTok maybe. But why don't you tell the story about Damon Arnett, former first round pick, massive, massive flop for the Raiders. Mike also hasn't really drafted great. Cleveland Farrell in the first has been a problem, but go ahead.
Well, apparently in a month's time, he had four accidents with rental cars.
In one month.
He also is being sued by a woman who's...
Okay, here's why he had... I want you all to listen to this story. You want to say, how does that guy have four accidents in 1 month? What could his driving be like where he has 4 months? Maybe it was somebody else's fault. Oh, go ahead and tell this little story.
Well, he had a hit and run on a woman and who he didn't stop because he wanted to get to... He wanted to get to the facility on time to make it on time for his meetings. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if this woman is getting in the way and, you know, if it's, okay, be on time for a meeting... stop and maybe help a woman who you just struck with your vehicle. I don't know. That's a tough call. Damon made the call. He said, you know, screw this. I'm going to get to work on time. And you can't, I mean, he is conscientious about that.
No, that's good. I mean, he wants to be there on time. Even if he has to drive past her to go around her and try to turn right across her face as she's driving, you know. That guy is committed.
So
we don't have the audio, do we? Did you get it bleeped out?
His threatening one?
Yeah.
Yes.
You got it bleeped out.
Okay, so he's going back and forth on in direct messages on Instagram. He's going back and forth with this guy. Pull up, drop a pin, I'm going to smoke you. This guy's saying, let's box. It's just like two guys going at it. I ain't afraid of you, blah, blah, blah. And then Damon Arnett apparently sends a video of him with, I don't know what gun this is. It looked pretty threatening, whatever it was.
It was a threatening gun?
It looked like one that had the capability of firing off multiple shots.
You think it was a threatening
gun? In automatic fashion. Yes. And here is the audio. Can you hear it? Like, you have to beep out.
Most of it?
Can we understand what he says?
You can understand some of it.
Okay. Let's hear. Here's Damon, who sends a video out. And, of course, now this video gets out publicly, and he's out of football.
5 minutes away. Pull up, lame ass. I swear to God, I will kill you. On everything I love, I will kill you. You talking crazy. Talking about that 5 minutes.
Then in another video, he says he's rolling deep at his house and they're all going to kill him and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's all. I guess so guns, did anybody die in the making of this video?
Not that we know of.
Okay.
No. Here's a question. You're making millions in the NFL. What are you doing? Just so many players. The social media is going to be the end of the careers of so many players when it's all said and done. Because they just, and I mean college players, high school players, whatever, because they just can't stay off. They just, it's entrenched now that all their business has to be handled in a public or relatively public forum. It's unbelievable how much this still happens. Now, he was a ticking time bomb, obviously.
Well, might I read from a draft profile of a well-known draft analyst from the NFL, some of the weaknesses listed for him?
Yeah.
Benefited from an all-star cast of pass rushers as a starter. Transitions are a little labored. Downhill trigger stalls at the top of his drop. Some inconsistencies with angles and run support. Must control emotions on the field. Is known to pull guns on fans who get mad at him off the field.
It's in there. I mean, it was in there already. That was obviously in the draft report.
Yeah, see that, see.
I didn't even remember putting that one in there, but it must have been in there, so it's in there. He read it. Hey, can't be making it up.
No.
It's got to be real.
Yeah, you did.
Now, somebody on Twitch said, yeah, I'd rather have all that stuff and be 5-3. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They also have better football players. They have Max Crosby. They have, you know, Jonathan Abram. They have Josh Jacobs. I mean, Colton Miller. They have better football players, too. They have better football players. If you were Mike Mayock, and you said, okay, we're going to give you the Texans with Deshaun Watson as potential trade bait and an early pick next year, or you can stay on the Raiders. You know where he's going? I'll take the Texans.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll take the Texans. I can stay there forever.
Absolutely.
I can trick the owner anytime I need to, and I got a chance to hit reset with more draft picks, and I can get out of this. I'll take that. Your team is in Las Vegas. I mean, Derek Carr, that's not going to be an issue.
No. No. The Raiders, okay, the Raiders are a mess. So here's Mike Mayock talking about the Ruggs and Arnett situations.
Obviously, we just lost Ruggs and Arnett, our two first-round picks, in a period of 7 days. So am I sick to my stomach right now on a lot of levels? Yes. I mentioned we found the risk acceptable after doing more homework on Arnett than anybody we've done in the years I've been here. And obviously, we missed. And that is 100% on me.
Here is Mike talking about the risk with Damon Arnett.
There was significant concern, and most of the teams around the league were very aware of it. We spent an awful lot of time trying to understand his behavior. And really what kind of tilted everything in the direction of, okay, let's go ahead and draft him, was that we knew that coaching staff pretty well. We knew what they had asked him to do his last year at Ohio State. They felt very strongly that they knew who we had on our staff and that we'd be able to work with this young man and not only help him on the football field, but help him in his life. And, you know, obviously in hindsight, we weren't able to do it, and I know people were, a lot of people, including myself, we were all concerned about this, but we, at the time, we thought it was an acceptable risk, and obviously it's painful on all levels.
I think he's telling you that Gruden made the pick, because Gruden had all the juice, just so you know. Gruden had a ton of the juice. But here, so here on a serious note, here's what goes into discussions like this. You go to the staff, you find out everything you can. You go to people not on the staff, and you go try to find out. You go try to find out about this player in high school. A lot of times you'll go talk to high school coaches, teachers, to find out what kind of person this is. But at the end of the day, here's the question that every team asks of every player. And many times, most of the time, it's an easy answer and it's a quick answer. They ask, what will this player do with more money, more access, and more time on their hands? What will this player do? And the time on their hands has to do with, will they get into trouble? Will they spend their time working on their craft, whatever? The money, will that have an impact on who they are? The access, will that have an impact on, you know, do you have underlying character issues that are going to be exacerbated with more money and more access and more free time? Mm-hmm. So the question forever has always been, what will this player, and it goes of Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Damon Arnett, everybody, what will this player do with more money and more time? And now you have to say more access. So that question's always asked, and that one's a difficult one, because no matter what happened at Ohio State, you have to be able to try to figure out the player's character versus what's going to happen when they have things they've never had in their entire life. And they're also very young. The second thing that I think is impossible to factor in for teams is how will social media impact this player's behavior? Will this be something that we need to worry about in terms of putting all the team's business on social media? And now, obviously, how will this player deal with negative feedback and input on social media? Will this be something that will trigger that player? So I'll tell you an interesting story. I've never told this story, and I'd like to get this guy on the radio. I'll see if we can do it the week of the game. There's a guy named Brian Decker. I'll do it on the other side. It's 8:43 right now. At 8:47, I'm going to tell you about a team who hired someone from the Green Berets. An interrogation and interview specialist, and how this player is used, because I think it's, or how this person is used, because I think it's very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I had time for me to talk right now. Do you want to know what's interesting is Chastang Ford. When you're trying to buy that Ford car truck, listen, I'm in line to get the Lightning, the F-150 totally electric truck. You get your name down. Because if you're looking for something like that, I drove one of their electric cars off the lot. A couple months ago, and it was awesome. It was spectacular. It's really, really neat if you've never driven an electric car. But you know what? You can get out down on that, or you can get the regular F-150, and you can get it exactly the way that you want. You can get it select ones with $1,000 off. You can get select ones with 0% financing for 72 months. Right now, you're not finding dealerships that are dealing. You're not getting $1,000 off. Actually, in other dealerships, you're getting $5,000 or $10,000 added on to the list price because the car business is so difficult. But that's not what's happening at Chastang Ford. At Chastang Ford, they're getting you that customized car or truck exactly how you want it at the price you want it with zero add-ons ever, ever, ever. Go to ChastangFord.com and find out for yourself, or get there on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. You're looking for the best deal on Fords in the city of Houston is Chastang Ford.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
8:48 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I think you told the story before. It's funny because when Alonzo was with the Browns, he had talked to my daughter, and he wanted her to come to the combine, and he wanted her to come in on meetings and give her psychological evaluation of players that they were talking to. And it never materialized. I don't know what happened. Dorsey or some whatever happened. I don't know what happened. But they've talked about it before, and if you had a psychological evaluation, if you had Damon Arnett's
most teams have it now.
And you ask Damon Arnett questions, you could use a psychologist in there.
100%. You have to have. So I'm going to tell you a Texan story first, and I'll get to this. So I was invited by Danny. It was early on in the Texans, like 2000, maybe 3 or 4. And Danny Arnold, who was training a lot of professional athletes and are combine athletes, right? He's trained Peanut Tillman, Haloti Ngata, Charles Woodson, Julius Peppers, phenomenal talents. Derek Johnson, Sean Rogers, Casey Hampton, all there in Stafford Sugar Land.
Mm-hmm.
I would go in and watch some of these guys train. Well, I went to the combine, and Danny got me into a room with the Texans, their psychological room. They're one of their testing rooms. It's like it's just a hotel room, or like a hotel room, but it's a, you know, like a little small conference room. So I got in. Now, I'm sure the Texans, I'm on radio at 610 with you at the time, and I'm sure the Texans, I don't know, he got permission for me to go in. So I got in somehow. And this is, like I said, around 2004, I think. And I get to watch all this stuff take place, and it was fascinating. Here's one thing they would do. They would have a player sit here and stare straight ahead, and they would take a pencil or something that was on a table, and the player would have to look straight ahead, and they would roll it off, and the player would have to catch it. They're checking their peripheral vision, which I'm thinking this feels kind of gimmicky. But then they would have the player sit there, so they did that. They had the player put on these goggles, which are drunk goggles, basically. And what they're doing is they're checking to see how you make adjustments. So they give you 3 bean bags. They had a trash can, and they would put a trash can there. You're wearing these goggles. You try to throw it into the trash can. You see how badly you miss because it impairs your vision, and it alters and distorts where the trash can is. So now you've got to make adjustments based on what your vision is. You know, once again, I didn't love that as an indicator of what kind of football player a guy would be, but it was a psychological way of showing how are you making adjustments to what your mind is telling you. Then this is one where the Texans did a basic puzzle with these puzzle shapes. They did a puzzle, and then they told the other player, they made them look at it that way, then they mixed it up, and then they flipped the puzzle around, and the player had to make the exact same puzzle but the opposite way. And all I could think of was, well, there's going to be a lot of failures here. You're going to get a lot of failing grades. But they wanted to see cognitive processing. So that was one thing that I thought was pretty interesting the Texans were doing way back in the early 2000s. The Colts had a guy. They have a guy now named Brian Decker. He was with the Browns for a couple of years. He worked in the Air Force Special, the Army Special Forces. He was a Green Beret. And he was in charge of interrogations and questioning and interviews. And when he was with the Army, you know, with the Green Beret, and he's going over in Europe, he's going over the Middle East. And I got a chance to talk to him for about an hour and a half one year at the Colts camp. And it was the most fascinating conversation I've ever had. His whole job is to figure out who you are. That's his job, is to figure out who players are, is to help players in the buildings, figure out, make sure that players in the building are who you want them to be, and then to try to decipher who a player is in limited time at the combine and in individual visits and things like that. So he knows questions that can get the best answer. And I'll give you an example. When you want to find out about a player and some of his background, a player is going to be very guarded, right? The player doesn't want to tell you everything in his background, even though some of it they don't hold against a player. A lot of teams won't hold a lot of this against a player. They just want to know what your background is. And I said, well, how do you get a guy to talk about things that he's guarded against? He goes, well, you have to break down the wall and make them understand that that's not something, like, they're telling you something that they see as a source of pride that they were able to overcome. He said, here's the best way. I might start off with a question about, you know, I might tell them, look, Fortune 500, and this is true, Fortune 500, you know, his number is like 76% of all Fortune 500 executives came through very strong adverse. They had something that would be categorized as very difficult adversities in their life, and they overcame it. And that's a big factor in their success. And what he'll tell a player is, you know, you're one of the best in your business, just like a Fortune 500 guy. That's why you're here at the combine. And overcoming adversity is a huge part of a success profile for a lot of those guys. Give me an example of some adversity that you faced in your life. Well, now a player can wear it as a badge of honor. Instead of being something he's embarrassed about or he doesn't want you to know, he wears it as a badge of honor. Like, I overcame, and these are real life examples, drug dealing brother who was in prison, or dad, a mom who's an alcoholic, they don't usually talk about sexual trauma they've had when they were young. You know, there's certain things that they just won't open up about. But it was fascinating talking to him about how to get guys to open up and tell you what you need to know, because you have to change the way they perceive those things in their life. He told me about when they were in the Middle East, for example, or if you're in interrogation, right? You want to create a power structure. What you do is, or in an interview, you use a rectangular table, and you sit across from them, and now you're in a big position of power. But if you want to make it inclusive, use the circular table, and you will have more than one person there so that you feel like it's an inclusive group, and there's ways that you set the chairs up. He talked about how if you want to really put the pressure on someone in an interrogation, you start from further away, and at different times you move your chair forward, and you get to the point you're more and more close. He talked about how touching is something that you do in European countries, because that's more, it creates a bond, or subconsciously a bond with that person, because it's so prevalent in European countries other than Germany. And then he said, but in the Middle East, that's something that you don't do. So if you want to really put the pressure on somebody, you get close to them, you touch them, or if you want to show them that you are an ally and a friend, you give them their space, you alter the way the room looks. And so it was just fascinating listening to a specialist whose entire job is to extract information from athletes now and players, not in a negative way, but so that you have everything out on the table and there are no surprises. It was fascinating hearing him talk. And he told me the number one thing, and this is for parents out there too, he told me a book, it's called Permission. I think it's Permission to Fail or something like that, or The Gift of Failure. And he said this is the greatest book for parents because it teaches parents how to give your kids permission to fail so that they learn to do things on their own. You know, it's the anti-helicopter parent book.
Yeah.
He said this is the most important book out there today, The Gift of Failure, so that kids learn from failures, whether it's riding a bike and falling down, whether it's at school, making your mistakes and overcoming them. And he said, I asked him, I said, I bet you love military kids because they are so disciplined. He goes, they're some of the worst. He said, they have been given structure their entire life, and they don't know how to self-structure. And when they don't have that structure, sometime they fall apart. He said, you would think that two military parents would be great. He goes, sometimes that's one of the worst dynamics. He said, if I get a player who's never been through any adversity in their life, they're really, you know, borderline for us because we don't know how they're going to respond by really tough adversity. If they've had everything given to them and nothing's been hard, then how do they handle it when they are, you know, 1-6 and they're not playing well, and they maybe have their job on the line? Can they overcome that? Do they have anything in their background that proves it? These are all things that go into a lot of NFL teams. And so for a Damon Arnett to slip through, they must have thought he was exceptionally talented.
Yeah.
For them to let him through despite all those things
that Mike
said.
I think he was saying, what he was saying was, this was a Gruden deal.
Hey, I knew about it. We all knew about it. This is all on me because, you know, I had my own issues. that's code for
yep.
I'm taking responsibility, but that was John's guy.
Still ahead, about 18 minutes from now, Sage Rosenfels to break down all of the NFL stuff right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we got that going on. In the meantime, let's talk a little insurance, Lance.
You must be talking about TGS. Insurance.
Well, yes, that.
Those are my friends who in 15 seconds can get you. They do the work in 15 seconds it would take you probably 2 to 2.5 hours to do, which is shopping A-rated insurance companies, not just one or two, but multiple A-rated insurance companies, so that you can get the very best rate possible. It would take you a long time to do it, and yet it's really necessary. You need to shop those homeowners insurance rates so that you don't pay ridiculous premiums. And that's what so many of you are doing right now because you won't shop. You just sit there and you think your bundle has got you covered, and it doesn't. TGS Insurance will go out of their way to help you find a new car insurance as well if you're looking for that. And in many cases, it's a chance that where you will actually end up saving money. TGSinsurance.com. That's how you can find out more about the company. But the best way for you to get involved is text the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.